Grace and peace to you, friend. Hello. This last week has been most peculiar. Let me explain. On Monday morning, the conflict in Ukraine had been going for a few days. It had become abundantly clear that over time, millions of people from Ukraine would be seeking refuge in neighbouring countries and be displaced within Ukraine. And this horrible, horrible situation that will mean people who have left home, some with only the clothes on their back, will be arriving in places where their specific needs will completely overwhelm their local new community. Because of this, churches and other community groups both in Ukraine and Poland have reached out to similar in the wider European community for help. And as part of that, and with a contact in Denny already established, my phone rang at 8:20 on Monday morning while I was awake, but still in bed. The phone call was from Alistair, one of our local councillors, who asked if we could work together to do something. And of course I said yes. And soon after, the community council were involved, the scouts were involved, and this thing, which was going to be a small collection, started. And this was the case for many other collection points across Scotland and wider Europe. But the collections came in, queues formed, more collections. And now, having sent tons of donations with our original contacts and with the Salvation Army, we're now looking at storage of goods donated locally and how they will continue to be transported when required in the weeks and months to come. All the while recognising that the requests from both Poland and Ukraine are now for donations of money rather than goods. We don't 100% know what happens next, but we do know that everything given that was on the list of things asked for will in time go to help the people displaced because of the abhorrent actions of Russia. Here are some photos throughout the collection process, so you can see the remarkable generosity that's been given, and some of the many, many people who have helped. When we do things like this, when as a community, as a church, as individuals, when we do anything like this, it can be tempting to puff out our chests and shout about how good we are. It can be tempting to think we deserve excessive gratitude for responding to people in need. Temptation's not a new thing, and it's not something that God doesn't understand. So let's hear in our Bible reading now about Jesus being tempted in the wilderness.
This week's reading is from Luke chapter 4 verses 1 to 13. Jesus is tempted in the wilderness. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all his temptings, he left him until an opportune time. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Friends, before the remarkable response of people in this last week, I was planning on talking about addiction this morning. I was planning on talking about the challenges faced when temptation and illness defeats our human resolve. In the reading, we hear of Jesus and his resolve being tested, being offered an unimaginable reward and way to show power, and ultimately a way to gain power. But in all of it, Jesus refuses, preferring to speak to the reality of God rather than get caught up in an addiction to power and control. It's pretty on the nose. The unchecked addiction to power and control, it can lead to the ongoing war in Ukraine. However, that addiction to power and privilege, in far smaller and less damaging ways, hurts our own lives and the lives of those around us. Do you always want your own way? Do you get upset when people say no to you? How do you feel when things aren't how you want them to be? How do you feel when you have to manage your expectations because things have changed around you? Would you be tempted to abuse your power to get what you want? Would you compromise your beliefs to get what you want? Would you test the support structures and the people around you to impress somebody or to be liked? For everyday folk like you and me, the danger isn't that we'll be tempted to invade another country. No. The addiction to power and control is found in different ways. In raised voices. In always seeking to have the last word. In making it about the other person being at fault, when it's you that's made the mistake or done something wrong. The self-reflection, the personal work, to identify and understand that you are doing these things is hard, but it's work you must do. To resist the desire to show off or shout loudest, to resist compromising your values and beliefs for personal gain, and to do what is right and consistent and not what is easy. These are the ways we can emulate Christ. These are the ways we can stand in the face of violence and attempted abuse of power. But most of all, when we see those abuses happening on micro and macro scales, we are to respond as many have this past week responded to the invasion of Ukraine. In difficult situations, don't make yourself out to be the victim, but stand with the real victims and listen to what they really need in terms of help. And not simply doing and giving what you want to give or that you think should be given, ignoring local requests. Friends, my reflections this week are somewhat scrambled and they don't tie neatly into a bow. If you were being ungenerous, you might say they aren't finished. But then again, the work of responding to the needs of the people of Ukraine isn't finished. And it won't be for a long time. So as we take time to adjust to the next phase of the response from here in Bridge of Allen, I encourage you to see where you need to adjust your responses to.